Welcome to the Highlight Positive Podcast. I'm Deanne Goodman. I believe there is too much negativity in the media. In fact, I used to be one of those reporters chasing those stories. Now I'm on a mission to highlight the good and spread positivity. Inspiration is contagious. So let's hear from some of the most inspiring people who do amazing things and learn how we too can positively impact the world around us. My guest today is an everyday hero who doesn't ask for the spotlight or for recognition. He has dedicated his life to protecting others and being of service. If there is ever a dicey situation, I want this guy in the room with me. We talk about self-defense, his book and life as a special agent, as well as his tips to living a happy life. You definitely need to make it to the end just to hear the New Year's resolution he makes every year. It is so good that I'm going to adopt it. Please welcome Cody Perron.
Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. And you are a former Marine, a special agent, nationally certified women's self-defense instructor, Department of Homeland Security trained use of force instructor, now an author, and almost a married man.
That is, yes, that's a lot of things. And almost a married man is the coolest one, I think.
That is really cool. And almost a stepdad, which
that's
is great.
That's true.
Too.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. Well, we'll definitely get into all your different titles, but I want to hear for sure more about your book and being a special agent. But first, I want to dive into women's self-defense, because I think one of the keys to living a positive life is not to live in fear. What are some tips you have?
Yeah, so, you know, there's a whole list of them I could give you, but the top three, you know, maintaining situational awareness, and that just means being aware of your surroundings and the changes within it. Whether there's good changes, bad changes, just not being so deep into your phone, so deep into your book, so deep into the conversation that you don't know what's going on around you. Second would be knowing where you are, meaning knowing if you're right inside a restaurant, where your entries and exits are. If you're right inside a cafe, or if you're on the street, knowing that, hey, it's nighttime right now. My situational awareness needs to be elevated because it is nighttime and I am in a potentially more vulnerable position than if it was daytime in the same location. And lastly, intuition. Intuition saves lives. Intuition is everything. Women have a strong intuition. The guy I talked about, Steve Cardian, wrote a book, The New Superpower for Women, and he talks about intuition a lot. And I've read a lot about intuition from different authors and different people in this field. And it's such a powerful tool. So those would be the top three things that I would say to help you know, maintain balance in your life with regard to safety.
Yeah, those are really good. So when you go to a restaurant, do you always sit where you're not having your back to the door?
Yeah, that would be my next tip. When I was teaching this stuff with the company I started, I would do I always do the restaurant scenario, and I'd say, hey, you don't have to go in where are the entrances, the entrances and exits, you know, and panic to the hostess. You go in and you be polite to the host and the hostess, but if you have the opportunity to sit with a location where your back is to the wall, that's great. That's a great tool, because now you don't have to worry about what's in front of you. And then some of the other tips and tools I taught was people how to assess individuals. And their kind of their state, their current state, because you can tell a lot from looking at a person. You can tell a lot if they're having a good day, if they're having a bad day, if they're angry, if they're happy. There's a lot you can tell. Having a back to the wall is another one I would argue is very valuable.
And if your gut's telling you there's just a bad situation, you know, you can feel it. If you're like, this person is not up to the right things, or my gut's just saying, get out of here. What do you suggest people do when you get that gut instinct?
Exactly what you said. Get out of there.
So just leave. Don't even engage with the person. Just get yourself away.
Get out of that situation. Yeah. If it's in a situation where it's kind of you're at a college party and there's a creeper or someone you would identify as a creeper, just remove yourself from the situation. Don't go anywhere without your friends or without others that you know well. And if it's a situation where, you know, as we have this active shooter stuff going on these days, or it could be a potential knife wielding suspect or anything like that, then just leave. Just remove yourself from that situation and remove your loved ones as well.
Any like basic moves we should all know, or like should we be carrying mace or anything like that?
Yeah, there's a lot of moves I could. I can't do it on the podcast like in person, but yeah, there's a couple tools you can use out there. You know, people carry different pepper spray and mace. I know there's some apps out there. One of the coolest devices I think is out there. It's called the DAD. It's the Defense Alert Device. I'm actually a certified instructor with them as well. And it is a very light tool that you can hold in your hand, and it straps around your wrist. So you don't have to hold it. It's just, it can just be like hanging there on your hand. And it is a powerful flashlight that has different modes on it. One of them they call the Kodak effect, where it flashes really bright. So if someone approaches you, for example, in the dark, you could hit it and it would flash in their face and would kind of stun them for a second. But it also has, with the same button, or right near the same button, is a pepper spray, and it's a military grade pepper spray. It's really strong, and I've been pepper sprayed by this stuff before, because if you're going to carry it as law enforcement or military, which I've been both, you have to get sprayed by military grade pepper spray, and it's really powerful stuff. But the coolest thing is when you engage the pepper spray, you also engage a button that notifies people with the app that can come to your aid if somebody has downloaded the app, but more importantly, five people in your contact list that you have dedicated, that you've basically filed in the DAD system. So your mom, your dad, your best friends or whatever, you press that button, it's going to send a GPS locator in the exact position of where you are. It's going to say, you're in danger. And all you got to do, all they would have to do is click the button, either to call 911 and give the address of where you are, or if they wanted to drive out to you, if you're not far, run out to you, they could click it and it'll literally give you a Google Maps of where you are. Really cool device, Defense Alert device. I think that's been the coolest one on the market out there.
That is. Can we put is it on your website?
It's not on my. It's not on my website. I left my company. I sold my shares, but I do know the CEO of the company. But you can go to tigerlight.net. It's TIGERLIGHT.net, and you'll see it. And there's videos up there, and there's some news videos. We were in the Utah news when I was doing training out there, and there were two girls who were in Italy and used it and successfully contacted her mom, who was in Utah, who called the family that the girls were staying with in Italy, who thus called the police to go and help them out. So really cool device.
Nice.
But yeah,
that's
Tiger Light.
Cool.
Tigerlight.net.
We'll put a link to that. And can you go on a plane with that? You probably have to have it in not carry on, right?
Yeah, probably not in your carry on.
Okay.
I wouldn't recommend going on a plane with it. But I mean, because they'll take it from you, they won't give it back.
Yeah, they'll confiscate it. And then how close are those? You said those buttons are really close, but there's no way you could like mistakenly hit it, right?
No. So yeah, the setup is really easy to use, and you deliberately press the light, and then to move on to the next when you move up. And what's cool is there's a test system, so you can practice with your friends. And there's also a test canister of spray that's inert. It's not real pepper spray. So you can actually see how strong and powerful it is and how long it goes. Yeah. Really cool.
I think that's really cool. So do you think being able to protect yourself builds confidence and helps diminish fear and anxiety?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. And confidence is part of protecting yourself. I mean, not only having the tangible physical skill set and knowledge to do it, but just having that confidence is a deterrent in itself. Whether you have, just walk around with confidence, whether you walk around with the appearance of confidence, having a positive mental attitude, a confident stance, a confident walk, confident talk is something that is oftentimes a deterrent. Or people look for easy targets. People that are soft or looking down or appear timid.
That's a really good point. So let's switch gears a little bit from your time in the military and as a special agent. Before we even get into that whole story, is there anything that you picked up in your time that's like a tip or trick to living a more positive life?
A tip or trick to living a more positive life? Probably a lot off the top of my head. I mean, I think open-mindedness would probably be the one that may seem simplistic to some, but not to all. And I'll say that as a young, as back in the day, a young man coming from a very closed-minded area of the United States, in Louisiana, and I love them to death, but I mean, there are areas of the United States that are a bit closed-minded, in some regards. And I don't mean politics. You know, we're in a very divisive time these days. I just mean being open-minded to accepting others' views and cultures and languages and you name it, and being in a Department of State really opened my mind. Overseas, I served as a diplomat, and you have to understand that, hey, not everybody's like you, right? People are different. And once you can realize that people are different, accept them for who they are, you can become, you know, a better version of yourself and a more positive version of yourself. And if I were to narrow it down to one, you know, kind of on the spot, but I would,
yeah,
say,
absolutely.
Open-mindedness, yeah, would be very cool.
So coming from this smaller, is it a small town or just a kind of a closed-minded town?
Yeah, no, very, very, very small town. Yeah.
Did you always know you wanted to join the Marine Corps?
I did not. No, I thought about it my senior year of high school. I was literally watching National Geographic, but one of those, TV shows that showed, I think it was some army guys in tanks, and my dad was watching. He was cooking dinner. I remember he was watching. He made a comment about those being, some the way he said it was real men, like real tough guys, and they raised their hand to serve, and that stuck with me. And that actually might have been my junior year, but then my senior year came around, and I was just kind of not going anywhere. I was good in school with regard to having friends, and I think being a good person and playing sports, but I didn't care about the academics so much. And then when you get out of that, out of school, out of high school, and you realize there's nothing there for you in that town, and you weren't good at the academics, it really closes a lot of doors, or some doors, and there's already very few. And so I determined that I needed to get out of there. I had a buddy that was joining the Marine Corps. I was going to go in on the buddy system with him. Unfortunately, he didn't make it the same time I did. And I went. And it's been the best decision of my life.
Yeah, it ended up really being a great decision. So then after you've left the Marine Corps, you get into, I guess, the Foreign Service? Or just being a special agent?
You're spot on. Yeah, I was a law enforcement agent, a federal agent, special agent, in the U.S. government's foreign policy branch, foreign service. Yep.
So little known fact about myself was that I wanted to be a diplomat as well when I was
awesome.
In college. I wanted to be a lot of things, but I wanted to be a diplomat. And I even took political sciences and it became my minor. And I looked at the exam for the foreign service and I was like, there's no way I'd pass this.
Oh.
So I was like, I'm out.
Oh man,
it was like so hard. It was like, I don't know if yours was like this, but the questions were like, redo the entire economy of a country that's on the brink of, you know, basically bankruptcy. How would you do it? And I'm like, I don't know.
Well, based on my initial assessment of meeting you for 15 minutes, I think you'd have done fine. Because let's say some of our diplomats aren't the best. Some are very introverted, which you would think as a diplomat you have to be kind of extroverted, and you know, teach their own. They all thrive in different ways. But it would have been a cool career.
It would have been. The hard thing, I think, and you did this probably very well, is just having, did you have to move all the time? Like
yes.
Every couple
of
years?
Goodness, yeah. Yes. And for me as a on the law enforcement branch, so to answer your question, I didn't have to take that foreign service exam.
You got to skip it.
Yeah, I took another exam.
I don't think anyone passes that. Well, somebody obviously passes it, but...
I took another exam that was partially related to it, and then with some more law enforcement style questions, and then had two different boards that I had to attend. One of which was two special agents, the other one which was two special agents and a senior foreign service officer, and then number of panel interviews, psych evals. It's a process, but what a great decision. And I think to answer your second question, yes, I moved around a lot. I purposely moved around a lot because I went to high threat zones. So you're only really offered a 1-year assignment in these high threat areas. which caused me to move after a year in each place.
What about your personality and your being makes you want to live in a high threat zone?
Yeah, I joined the Marine Corps for a reason. I was infantry in the Marine Corps. I like excitement. I feel when I am doing something for whatever reason that is dangerous, that I'm really serving in that capacity. And there's tons of ways to serve, and it's not just the military or the government. There's AmeriCorps, there's teaching, there's so many different ways, but this is my mindset. And once you get a little bit of that exhilaration from performing in these areas, it's hard to shake. I had my taste of it for 3 months, in 2010 as an agent doing high threat protection for diplomats and congressional delegations that visited in Iraq in the red zone. And, wow, it was just, an experience that made me want to come back. So I did.
Twice. You knew you were meant to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you know, I did traditional posts as well. I was in Vietnam for 2 years and that was great, but I had the itch to go back to Iraq and I did. So
that obviously inspired your book, which is Agents Unknown, True Stories of Life as a Special Agent in the Diplomatic Security Service. Tell us, I guess, the Cliff Notes version. What do we need to know about your book?
Okay, well, I'll tell you and your audience, it's an easy read. I've had people that say, hey, Cody, I don't read much, but this was a really interesting but also easy read. I write how I talk. I'm not a writer by trade. It's 12 short stories of my time as a special agent. A couple stories at my first domestic assignment in Houston, making arrests. And then it goes on to my time overseas. Some of the key stories or kind of the catalyst to starting the book was when I flew to a Iraqi-Syrian border town to interview two former ISIS hostages that were held with the first female American hostage, Kayla Mueller. They were at a United Nations camp. They escaped the grasp of ISIS, and I flew with U.S. Special Operations to go down there to gather information to give to them so they could take some action. Other stories, I was protecting Vice President Biden in Baghdad when we were getting rocketed. Multi-million dollar fraud investigation of a diplomat that was selling visas to people. International fugitive returns. ISIS came to within 8 miles of surrounding us with, I won't say the exact number that's classified, but hundreds of fighters. We had 38 of us on the compound. That was a pretty bad situation. But there's also stories, you know, there's some action stories. There's also, and I'm light humored. I'm lighthearted in it. I think there's some humor in it. I've been told there's some good humor in it. But there's also stories about leadership. There's stories about bullying. There's sad stories about accidental deaths. And it's kind of all encompassing, a comprehensive overview of what a special agent in that capacity with the Diplomatic Security Service and what they do. And it's atypical of a special agent, for example, of the FBI or of Homeland Security. Because we have a lot of roles and responsibilities, a lot of leadership, a lot of management. I think the leadership stories and the PTSD stories and the bullying stories in there are very impactful and can relate to everyone, not just those who have been, for example, in high threat environments.
Absolutely. And Agents Unknown, is that because you don't necessarily get notoriety for what you do?
Yeah, a little. Well, I mean, I'm not about notoriety. I don't think the guys and girls in DS are either. But you are correct. We are commonly mistaken with Secret Service agents or FBI agents. And we, as DS agents, oftentimes are in, you know, arduous environments in some of the most volatile areas of the world, and no one has a clue of what we're doing. Name a country I could tell you if we're in it. There's very few that we're not, and Iran's one of them, North Korea's the other. We're in all these different environments, and it's not just high terrorism threat environments. Venezuela, for example, is chaos right now. It's not because of terrorism, it's because the country's falling apart. And in El Salvador, for example, which is such a high crime rate that diplomats are getting robbed and attacked, so Agents Unknown is basically, yeah, bringing to light, you know, the duties of these individuals from all walks of life, not just military or former military or former cops. There's lawyers, there's accountants, there's teachers that become special agents and to take this job on and are putting their lives on the line, and nobody really knows about it or knows what we do. So it's kind of just to bring to light what we're doing and what we've accomplished in the 100 years of that diplomatic security has been around.
That's amazing. And that's kind of my goal, is to highlight people like you who are doing these amazing things.
Well,
might not otherwise get highlighted. So can we kind of call you a spy in a way? Or is that like a word you don't
like
to use?
No, I'm nothing close to a spy. We do have, and I've become so used to the term top secret clearance, having a top secret clearance. When you tell an average, individual from anywhere in America that isn't familiar with the government, you say top secret clearance, they think spy, like, wow, either that's a lie, there's no such thing that mm-hmm. You're doing that, and it's a real thing. There's so many thousands and thousands of people with top secret clearances. I was a liaison to the CIA when I was in Northern Iraq, and that's all in the book. Of course, I use a different name for them mm-hmm. in the book.
You are a spy. You just can't claim you were. I get it. Wink, wink. Did everyone always tell you you should write a book? Because you probably share your stories with your friends and family, and they probably were like, you should write a book. Did everyone always tell you that?
Yeah, so a lot of people did tell me that. The thing is, I was surrounded with people like myself all the time. When you go to work, you're with a bunch of guys and girls that are like you. And so, we would talk sometimes like, man, we could write a book about all the stuff we do. And when I tell, when I say outsiders, I don't mean anything derogatory about it, but people that are not associated with the State Department about some of the things I've done or we've done, people in the department, they do mention that you should write a book. And my mom was the first one to tell me before I even, went to my first assignment in Houston, she got me a journal. And I write about this in the book, kind of tongue in cheek. And she told me to write in it. And I was like, yeah, I'm too cool for that. I'm writing a journal. And I regret it. There's probably more stories I could have, or at least stories I could have told with much more detail if I did write in the book, in the journal. But, mom's always right.
Moms are right. That's right. You tell your mom, that could have been your first draft of your book.
When I was in Northern Iraq, I went to refugee camps of, Syrian refugees that were displaced because of the war, or the Syrian war, and then of course ISIS, and that was extremely impactful to me in so many ways. The people in these camps are very resilient, in many ways I would say inspirational, that they're laughing and playing and smiling. Whenever we would come by, or I would take fellow diplomats out to see them, to do whatever work they're doing. I kind of got away from your question, but that makes sense.
That
type of stuff is very impactful.
Puts your life in perspective. Like,
for sure.
We get angry because the line at Starbucks is long and somebody else is like,
right.
A refugee and finding a way to be happy, even though they're displaced from their family and their country and everything.
Yeah, it does. You're right. That's a great way to articulate it. Put your life in perspective. And I see people putting their life on Facebook or whatever, and it's such a bad day. And it takes everything I have not to say, like, listen, not that bad. I've seen bad. I've seen where it's much worse. But everybody has their struggles.
Exactly. And everyone's struggle is real. And absolutely. I do agree with you. So how, and I don't know if you can speak to this, but do you have any advice for people who maybe have had a traumatic incident and are looking for ways to help overcome it?
Talk to someone or anyone. There is, and I'll speak to it with regard to the military, because that's what I do know, at least better than other things. And talking to someone, whether it's a loved one or a professional, is the first step in healing. I've had to talk to people. I've had things that I struggled with, and I hesitated for years in several cases to talk to anyone or really tell anyone about it in depth. And I mean in depth and detail and get it all out. And that would be, I think, the first step that anyone can do. And while I'm not a professional in that field, I would argue that is probably the first step if you look it up, right? And so to healing.
Talking about it is so important, and it makes it so that if you speak your truth, you're not a victim of it. You've been in all these super stressful situations. When you feel stress yourself, what do to release it?
Well, these days, so my fiance is a yoga instructor, and she got me into at one point meditating, and I haven't been as good at it lately. But deep breaths are always key, and meditating on something that, you know, positive that can help. But because I'm not doing it as frequently as I was when we first started dating each other, I think maintaining that positive mental attitude that it's going to get better as long as you pursue it to get better, as long as you try to help you. Don't remain a victim, you know, in any shape or form. And that's kind of how I get through it, or how I did get through it.
That's great. And what are you up to now, besides everything you're going through with getting married and being an author? But what's your future looking like?
Well, right now, yeah. So right now, I sold my shares to my company. I am focusing on getting married here in early November, and I'm looking to get back into the federal government in some shape or form. And you know, we'll kind of go from there. I have a few applications in with different organizations, all in a law enforcement capacity. I've lived an adult life of service, and I continue to want to serve. And although, as I said earlier, there are many ways to serve, this is my way, is being, I guess, what some would call in a protector role. And that's what I enjoy. And, you know, if you love what you do, then you can live a healthier, more fulfilling life.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you for your service to make us all feel safer. That's amazing. Here is a couple questions that are like rapid fire. So just answer with the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
Life is?
Life is long. And if I could explain that, what happens now, if you are going through a bad situation, what happens now, many years down the road will be different. And it will be better if you, again, maintain that positive mental attitude. Life is long.
Absolutely. Okay, positivity is?
Positivity is the way to your future, the way to your success. Without it, what do you have?
And happiness is?
Happiness should be every day. I know these aren't the most inspiring, but I mean, if you're not happy every day, if you're not smiling every day, I used to have not to get too much off topic, but I used to have a New Year's resolution, and I still do. It's the same thing. I never have these, hey, I'm going to give up food for a while, I'm going to go to the gym. It's always try to make one person smile every day. And I think I accomplish that every day, and I don't have to constantly think about it because I'm kind of a jokester. I laugh and joke a lot. And I think happiness, and helping people smile, you never know what they're going through, is very powerful.
Wow, that's incredible. Okay, what other inspiring things do you have? What else can I pull out of you? That's like the best thing ever, making people smile every day and making that your New Year's resolution. What a beautiful thing to do. That is, you do live a positive life. Like talking to you, I can tell you live a very positive life.
What's the hardest is taking your own advice sometimes. So, you know, I tell people to do a lot of things, and sometimes I find myself in a funk and I got to tell myself like, hey, you need to take your own advice, or my fiance will tell me that, or my friends will tell me that. And you know, you're right. Cause hey, we're humans, right? We're imperfect. And, but smiling, remaining positive, and taking your own advice, if you're going to be that positive person, is, you know, very important.
Yeah, and bonus points to you for being in a career that can be really negative and still maintaining this positivity that you have. How can people get your book and connect with you?
Okay, so the book can be found in two places, agentsunknown.biz. You can buy a copy there. There's also autographed, I'll just say signed copies there. There's also t-shirts there that, that can be bought. For those who have Amazon accounts, which I feel like a lot of people do, it's easily purchased
with
on
Amazon. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Amazon Prime, it's a they'll get it to you in a day or two. So that's a pretty good way to do it. Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah, I kind of live on Amazon Prime.
Yes, it's dangerous.
Who has time to get out of the house? I'm going to go purchase a book, and then I want you to sign it. And then after I read it, I'm going to have to redo this whole interview because I'll be like, you need to answer this and this and this, and I'm so curious about everything.
I'd be happy to come back anytime.
Yes, we'll have you back again for sure. Well, thank you so much, Cody, for your time on this podcast. And everyone, go out and get his book.
Thank you so much for listening to the Highlight Positive podcast. We'll put links to Cody's website and the book in the show notes. I hope that you got a lot out of that episode. If you're liking this podcast, can you do me a little favor? In order to get seen in iTunes and other platforms, it's all about having a lot of 5-star reviews and downloads, especially as a brand new podcast. Feel free to rate, review, and subscribe, and then tell all your friends that they should be listening too. Let's spread positivity everywhere. If you only do one thing, just subscribe, because I want to keep hanging out with you and making sure you get the latest episodes. If you have a story to share or you know a great guest, reach out to me. I'm on Facebook, Deanne Goodman, and Instagram as Deanstagram, or you can just search Deanne Goodman. You all rock. Keep having an amazing day. And don't forget to let your light shine, because the world needs more of you.